You in the house of the Lord this morning on this Father's Day. And I thought, you know, to start with, being Father's Day, I would draw to you, I would share a couple quotes that I came across in relation to fathers. And so, for your edification, you don't raise heroes, you raise sons. And if you treat them like sons, they'll turn out to be heroes, even if it is just in your eyes. Another, the nature of impending fatherhood is that you are doing something that you were unqualified to do, and then you become qualified while doing it. One of the greatest things a father can do for his children is to love their mother. Every father should remember one day his son will follow his example, not his advice. My father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. It is easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. And much more rewarding, I must add. Being a great father is like shaving. No matter how good you shave today, you have to do it again tomorrow. Children need models rather than critics. And one more, this is from Billy Graham. A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. Let me pray. Father, we do thank you for the privilege that we have of addressing you as our Father. And for many who are here, others address us as Father. And we recognize that there is significant blessing in that. Lord God, may we be faithful to you and faithful to them with the task that has been entrusted to us. Lord God, we pray that as we gather together this morning in your name, that we might be all encouraged with the reality of your promise, of your goodness to us, of the opportunity we have to call upon you, to ask your insight, your intervention, your work. And so, Lord God, as we take a look at this maybe somewhat of an obscure passage of Scripture, we pray that it might be profitable to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in April, I started a series looking at various promises that God has given to us. And I know that they have been scattered through the last couple months, but just for rehearsal or reminder, we considered the promise of God's provision as we looked at Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And we looked at the promise of his peace from John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful. We looked at the promise of his presence from Exodus 33, as God spoke to Moses and said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And last week we looked at the promise of God's protection as we looked at the book of Esther and hearing Mordecai's counsel to Queen Esther, for if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. This morning I want to direct your attention to another provision that God has given to us and is really focused to the tribe of Asher. And it addresses maybe a little bit more of what is applicable to fathers in the promise of power. Life's problems and burdens should cause God's children to search him out and appreciate, even plead, the precious promises of God's word. I find great comfort in knowing that God is in perfect balance, and that balance is intertwined with his many attributes. And I'd like to draw three to your attention very briefly this morning by way of introduction, and looking at God's attributes of his power, his sovereignty, and his goodness, and all them in perfect balance. What if God were all powerful and sovereign, but not good? What a scary God we would have. Or what if he was all powerful and all good, but not all sovereign? Sovereign, by sovereign, I mean all knowing, all wise, in complete authority. We recognize that he could provide significant help, but would his powerful good intentions be what is needed? I'm sure all of us, or many of us, could identify with a situation where we desire to be of help, but our actions may not have accomplished our intentions. Or what if God were good and sovereign, but not all-powerful? He could be a tremendous help as a guide or a counselor, but in the crunch when we really need him to step in, what could he do? God is in perfect balance in all his attributes, for which we ought to be extremely thankful. And this morning I would like to consider the promise of God's power, which I trust will be of benefit and encouragement to us all. By explanation of this passage in Deuteronomy, after a long and useful life, Moses was approaching the end of his earthly pilgrimage. From firsthand experience, he had learned what God's children may expect from selfish people that lived about them, and from the God of grace who lived over them. Before surrendering his leadership to his successor, Joshua, Moses assembled the people together and commended them to God and to the work of his grace. And so he's got the tribe of Israel before him, and he divvies up the land, the promised land that God had given. And to Asher and his tribe, whose inheritance was a small strip of land of a rugged country extending from Carmel to Sidon, he is given this special promise. Most blessed of sons be Asher. Let him be the favorite of his brothers. And let him dip his foot in oil. Your bars shall be iron and bronze, and as your days, so shall your strength be. One making the pilgrimage through the region of Asher, received by God through Moses, Asher's promise was one that involved luxury and rich provision, as you will dip your foot in oil. But being on the outer edge of Israel, God included a reference to their gates to be strong. God assured Asher, while his life may be beset with many challenges and hardships, he would be supported and sustained by his unseen power. When we are called upon to travel over rough places in our journey of life, we will be, and I think we can be rest assured of this, we will receive from God what is appropriate and adequate in our times of particular challenge and circumstances. In life's pilgrimage, all of us will encounter rough places. For all of life has its difficult spots, its difficult challenges. Well, we would like it if our pathways were strewn with flowers and quiet meadows, sunny times. But there are times when we have to face the rugged roads of struggle, of hardship, and of sacrifice. We should not be surprised or shocked when disappointment looms before us and cuts across our dreams and our hopes and our aspirations. Please know we have not been promised an escape from the roughness and the steepness of life's road. In case you wonder why the stones have not been gathered from our pathway, or the obstacles have not been removed from our path, while the roads before us have not been paved, it is because God has left the conditions as they are for the development of our Christian character and for the increase of our usefulness. In Romans 5, 1-5, Paul wrote, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering." Interesting that Paul would put that. We rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So suffering is intended to accomplish good things in our lives. In 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4, "Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." You've heard me say it before. I love to say it again. God comforts us not to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. Sometimes the challenges that we are asked to go through gives us opportunity to speak into other people's lives. It gives us, may I say, credible witness as we have gone through some of the challenges under which we minister to others. There is much hill climbing to do in the Christian life. Sadly, some people have hills to climb because they have descended hills. They have made poor choices along the way. Thus, some of our struggles and difficulties are that of our own doing. When we find ourselves in the storm, as Jonah found himself in the midst of the storm, we can evaluate and we can ask ourselves, have we tried to run away from that which God is calling us to do? Or have we turned from that which we know to be right? And God is bringing us back online. But that's not always the situations when we come into storms. Sometimes those storms are intended to mold us and to make us into a more effective servant to the glory of God. And even for the child of God, there are consequences to our decisions. Or maybe I should say, especially to the child of God, there are consequences to our decisions. But as we continue to look at what the Lord has to say to Asher, he makes him a pledge. When we are called upon to travel rough roads of life, it is encouraging to know that God will provide us with the strength adequate for the situation. Here is the pledge. As your days, so shall your strength be. This is something similar to what God communicated to Isaiah in Isaiah 43. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. After Jesus' resurrection, he met with his disciples over a period of time before he was ascended into glory. And during that time, he gave them various instructions. And probably one of the most well-known passages of Scripture that involves that is right at the end of Matthew 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which was Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We know that as the Great Commission. And we're very familiar with that passage of Scripture as God has instructed us through Christ to go and to proclaim this good news of salvation to the world. But what come before that is what Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me." And what comes at the end is, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So this wonderful Savior, which if we are a believer, have invited into our heart, is with us. And he has also been entrusted with all authority. Many things can take place today that can cause us to be disquieted, dismayed, and discouraged. But God's word reminds us that he is still on his throne. And he is able and willing to provide for us. God will not continue to give us life without giving us strength. The strength that we need to live it. And dare I say, to live it victoriously. A famous 19th century British preacher, Henry Moorhouse, had a daughter who was physically disabled. One day he came home with a package, and when he was about to carry it upstairs, she called out, "Daddy, let me carry the parcel upstairs." He said, "How can you do that, my little daughter, who cannot even walk? How can you carry this parcel?" To which she replied, "Daddy, I'll carry the parcel. You carry me." Sometimes we so need God's help. We are in so need of God's presence and God's walking with us. And as we are called to carry our load, we don't do that by ourselves. Does that not remind you of that well-known poem, Footprints in the Sand? One night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes of life flashed across my eyes. In each scene I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints. Other times there were one set of footprints. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, and defeat, I could only see one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, "You promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I have noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there have only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you most, you have not been there for me?" And the Lord replied, "The times when you have seen only one set of footprints in the sand is when I carried you." A strange physical condition caused Paul great misery. He asked God to remove this disability from him that he might serve him better. God did not grant Paul's request, but said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." God does not always answer our prayers the way we would ask. God does not always deliver us from the burdens or the disabilities and the struggles that we face. But he always meets us. He always walks with us. And he will give us the grace and the strength to go on. I have a very dear friend who became deaf at the age of 20 from a spinal meningitis. He wasn't born deaf, and so he entered into a deaf world having heard. Challenges, particularly during those early years, were great. But folks, I have heard him pray and give God thankfulness for the opportunity that has been available to him to minister because of his deafness. What the future holds in store for us, we do not know. But there is one thing about the future that we can know. As our days, so shall our strength be. We are promised strength for the day when it comes and for what it brings. But we are not promised strength for the day until it comes, or for the day that doesn't come. Once in riding in Illinois, Lincoln, along with some other companions, faced a heavy rain. For some who were with him, their attention turned to the river that was ahead, fearing that it would be flooded and dangerous. And after they had talked in their anxious mode, Lincoln said, "I have crossed the Fox River at many times of the year and in all different kinds of weather, but I have never crossed it until I came to it." Do not try to cross your rivers until you reach them. And have faith to believe that when you reach them, God will help you at that time. As your days, so shall your strength be. God's pledge covers all the days that he has given to us. His Spirit dwells within us to make us equal to every demand that the day brings to us. Regardless of how many days we have, God has promised to be sufficient for them. He did not say, as your life is, or as your years are, or as your weeks are, but as your days are, so shall your strength be. Let us learn the art of living one day at a time, depending on God for the strength that is needed for today. I close with a quote from Augustine. Trust the path to the mercy of God. Trust the past to the mercy of God, the present to his love, and the future to his providence. Let me pray. Father God, we bow before you with gratefulness that you are our God. And there's nothing that is before us that we need to fear as we hold tight to that reality, that promise that you are with us. There's nothing that we will face that you are not fully aware of and able to deal with. That you can give us the wisdom that we need to address it, the confidence Lord God, we are in your hands. So on this day, we pray that we might be trusting you for this day. We're giving you thanks for the blessings of this day. Lord God, may we be found faithful before you in enjoying the promises that you have given to us with full assurance that you are faithful. And so, Lord God, may we live in such a fashion that is pleasing to you and a challenge, maybe even an attraction to our world, to you. May people see our good works and glorify you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.